So I want to talk today about how to finish strong. And I want to read a scripture that I think I've quoted here before, but it's Hebrews chapter 12, and I'll read the first three verses. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin, say the sin, which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of God. Father, thank you for the opportunity to declare, proclaim your word. Thank you for this house. Thank you for Pastor Taliba. Thank you for her father, the Rock. And thank you for him. And I pray your blessings and favor on them, especially during this season of their life. They didn't have to be here today. Their hearts are heavy, and there's other places they could have, probably would have chosen, but because of who they are, they're here. And I pray your blessings on them and this house and this word. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul oftentimes made references to the athletic, to compare the athletic to a Christian journey. And he says he wants you to lay aside every weight. If you watch him before a baseball game, when a guy's getting ready to go up to bat, he'll have a weight on the bat. And he'll put that weight on the bat and he'll swing it around and swing it around. But before he goes up to the batter's box, he'll take that weight off. If a runner is going to run in a race, he'll have a warm-up suit. And he'll put that warm-up suit. A lot of the tennis players and they have warm-up stuff that they use. And help me out back there, Jill. Amen. She knows I'm telling the truth. She's done it herself. You have a special outfit that you wear, but when she steps out on that court, that warm-up suit stays behind. And you got the lightest shoes. You take off everything you can take off and still be modest, because you're in a race and you don't want any weights to hold you back. And we can compare that to the spiritual journey. The Bible said, let us lay aside every weight. And in a minute, we're going to talk about weights. But here's something you probably haven't noticed in that scripture. Let us lay aside every weight, plural, and the sin, singular, that doth so easily beset us. Do you know everybody in this house has a besetting sin? I have mine. You have yours. What is yours? None of your business. I know it. God knows it. I have a besetting sin. You have a beset. You know it. You know what? It's the thing that does so easily trigger you, set you off. The devil knows your besetting sin, and he'll use that thing on you. If it's a temper, watch out. He'll make somebody rub you wrong. If yours is holding on to what God gave you, he'll work on that. I mean, every one of us, we have weights, but we have that one thing, the sin that does so easily beset us. So these are some things I want to talk about and us to work on today. It's weights and that besetting sin that does so easily beset us. Because Paul compares this to the spiritual life. And if you're going to live the abundant life that was promised to you in John 10:10, Jesus, I'm come that you might have life. But he didn't stop there. He don't want you just to have life. He wants you to have abundant life. God don't want you to have enough. He wants you to have more than enough. Enough gets you by. More than enough helps you to bless somebody else. He wants you to have overflow. He wants you to be blessed. So you'll have to lay some things down if you're going to please God. There's some things you got to quit. You got to stop. Take the weights off. They hold you back. They'll keep you from reaching your goal. What is it that keeps me from reaching my goal? keeps you from reaching your goal. The goal is to be conformed to the image of Christ. My goal is not to reach heaven. That's promised. That's why I don't like a lot of the Southern gospel. It's always talking about when we all get to heaven in the sweet by and by. I live in the nasty now. I need some help right while I'm down here. Amen. So I'm not, the heaven's promised. When you get saved, heaven's promised. My goal is to be conformed, to be molded. He is the great potter. I'm the clay. I want to be made like him. We used to sing a song in the old church, to be like Jesus, to be like him. They were first called Christians at Antioch. Why? Because they were like Christ and they were Christian. We used to ask the question years ago, what would Jesus do? I had to answer that question when I started New Covenant in Athens in October of 1980. I had denominations that wanted me to be a part of their fellowship. Now, I'm not against denominations. The only thing I'm against is the devil. I'm not against denominations, but I didn't want to be a part of denomination. When I started New Covenant, had no money, had no building, had no land, had no denomination. I just had a call. That's the way she started here. Just a call of God. But I asked myself the question, if Jesus came to Athens, what would he do? What would he be? If he's Baptist, that's what I want to be. If he's Methodist, I'm going to be Methodist. If he's Pentecostal, I'll be Pentecostal. I want to be what he is. You know what? I never could figure it out. He was just Jesus. So I said, we're just going to be a church. New Covenant. Just a church, not part of another. Listen, we're not anti-denominational. We're interdenominational. We're trans-denominational. We are part of the body of Christ. We need them. They need us. We're all the same family. We don't all sign the same card and carry the same credentials, but we're all part of God's family. That's what Renew is. It's part of the family of God. And we're not against the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, Episcopalians, and none of them. We love them all. But we're just believers. And so the next thing I had to ask was, who would Jesus preach to? I couldn't figure that out. So I put a sign on the road, whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come. So that's the desire of my heart. The desire of your heart is to be like Jesus. Can you say amen? Now, first of all, if you're going to get rid of the weights, you got to know what they are. You must identify the problem that hinders you. Until you acknowledge something, you can't correct it. You've got to identify. You've got to acknowledge. Now, I think it's 21 grandkids. Now, that includes the great-grandkids. My son has triplet boys. When you start having three at a time, you can rack some of them in a hurry. And I've watched them as they're growing up. They have fantasies and imaginations. I think it's just a kid thing, but most of them got it from the grandpa. John Patrick, I have bought him every kind of outfit you can imagine. Spider-Man, Superman, and he thinks he can fly. I mean, I remember one of my grandkids, I bought him a Superman outfit, and he wouldn't take it off. He wanted to sleep in it. He'd go to bed in it, and he did something wrong. His mother he couldn't talk plain, and his mother started to whip him, and he looked at his mother with a tear in his eye and said, Pooperman don't get no whippings. So he thought he was Superman. But I've always had an imagination. I want to read with me 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and beginning with verse 5 and 6. 1 Corinthians 10, 5 and 6. I'm just about there. I think I told you the right scripture. I'll know it in a minute. I think I told it. That's 2 Corinthians. I said 1 Corinthians. That's the first mistake I've ever made. I know you knew that wasn't true. Here we go. I think we'll start at verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down, say that word. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Say every thought. Every thought in your head to what? The obedience of Christ. That's powerful. You need to dwell on that when you get home. That's powerful. Now, as a kid growing up, I didn't face reality at a certain time. I was born that way, thinking that I could do anything. It was innate, daydreaming. In my mind, I could sing. I can't sing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket with a lid on it. There got to be a lot of music in me because none's never come out. I feel like the guy that was asked to sing a special, and he looked at the woman at the piano. He said, C. She got C. They wasn't together. He said, B. Still what? He said, E. After a while, she threw both hands up. She said, I can play the white keys. I can play the black keys. But she was a singing in the cracks. That's what I do. I'm not a singer. But in my imagination, I could sing. Now, as a kid, I was always getting into things I shouldn't get into. There was a doctor in Uvalde named Dr. Moses. And he did something then you'd never do now. At the end of the day, all the things that he had worked with in his clinic, he'd put them on the trash pile outside, and I'd go outside and look through and see what was there. And he had these injections, and I'd get them, and I'd doctor frogs. I'd doctor them. They'd jump about that high up in the air, and they'd dead. And there was a billy goat that got hit, and I don't know how old I was 7 or 8, and I had a sharp knife that the goat was expecting, so I operated and delivered all the billy goats. So in my mind, even at that young age, I thought I was a doctor. Now, when I became a missionary to Haiti, God connected me up with Dr. James. And Dr. James traveled with me for over 40 years. There is a pharmaceutical company in Tennessee, Kingston, Tennessee. And that pharmaceutical company, when a pharmaceutical is within a year of expiration, they would give them to us to take into foreign countries. I have been a part of taking in a few million dollars worth of medical supplies into foreign countries through King Pharmaceutical out of actually Bristol, Tennessee. King Pharmaceutical, Bristol, Tennessee. And I've taken in $200,000 on one trip given to us. And I travel with a medical team. And I was the only one that could speak Spanish. And all the people in Central America think I am a doctor. I've told them I'm not a doctor. They still call me Dr. Francisco. Now, why do they call me Dr. Francisco? My name is Howard. In Spanish, H is silent. My name in Spanish is Oward. My middle name is F. What does it stand for? Nothing. My mother and daddy had an argument about my middle name. On my birth certificate, it says Howard F. When I go to get my driver's license, name Howard, middle name F. What is your middle name? F. What does F stand for? Nothing. So I made me a middle name. It's Frank. Now, in Spanish, there's a lot of names for Frank. Francisco, Pacho, Panco, Chico, Francisquito. There's all kind of names for Frank. But everybody, if you go with me on a trip in Central America, Dr. Francisco. They think I'm a medical doctor. Because of the millions of dollars worth of medical supplies, and then at the medical clinics, we will attend 500 people a day. Dr. James and my wife, my daughter Cammie, when Mitch hit Honduras, within 2 weeks' time, my daughter, myself, had an 18-wheeler full of medical supplies, and when CARE could not get anything into Honduras, when the Peace Corps could not get anything into Honduras because the airport in Tegucigalpa, the capital, was underwater, in San Pedro Sula, the second largest city, underwater, La Ceiba, the third largest city, underwater, I had a friend on a little island called Roatan, and a friend in Texas with a ship. And the Atlanta Journal-Constitution said, if you want to get something to Honduras, send it to New Covenant in Athens, Georgia. A small church, a little church, unknown. But out of every church in Georgia, nobody could get anything in but that little church. It's called favor. That's the kind of thing that's going to happen in this church. God told me that. You're going to do things other places can't do because you're different. Because you're different. And I traveled with Dr. I did his funeral about 5 years ago. It's from Waycross. But if we couldn't help them in a clinic, we'd take them to a hospital. Sometimes we'd bring them into America. They'd be operated. The lady that I told you a while ago from Guatemala, that her father, I brought her into America for surgery. Lorena is her name. So because of the people I work with, there are times they'd invite me and I'd have to put something over my shoes, put on a gown, put on a hat, put on a mask. And I would go and I've been in a room, operate many times in an operating, and I look at that doctor doing it, I say, I could do that. I operated on a billy goat. But here's the thing, I can't do that. I'll tell you why I can't do that in a minute. I had another dog. And this dog chased a car and got run over and broke its leg. And I told my daughter and my wife, we're going to have to put it down. Krista was young then. Krista said, Daddy, if you get your leg broke, you want us to put you down? I said, no. Well, I had a member of the church named Leslie Fordham. Do you remember Leslie Fordham? Dr. Leslie took my dog's leg off. And she did such good surgery, I couldn't even find a stitch. I thought, if I get hurt, I'm not going to I'll go to the veterinarian and let him operate on me. But I could not do what Leslie did. I could not do that. Do you know why I couldn't do it? I didn't pay the price. I didn't pay the price. I didn't pay the price. Leslie went to college about 7 years. I didn't. My son has run in every marathon in America you can imagine. Boston, you name it, he's been there. For over 33 years, he runs 8 miles a day, at least 5 days a week. And his wife said, if you don't, you can't live with him. With him, it's just, he's done it for over 33 years. He did it this morning. He'll do it tomorrow. I can't do that. I don't have that discipline. So there's certain things that if you do them, you've got to pay the price. You got to be willing to pay the price to do what they do. You've got to have the discipline. You've got that there is a price to pay. Years of I've got a daughter that right now is in a condominium in Florida because she has to be alone, and they sold her house and they have a 2-bedroom apartment where 4 or 5 of them are living. And she said, called me up, said, Daddy, I had to get away. She'll get her PhD in less than 2 months in medicine. She quit school when she was just a kid and got married. And she got a what is it when you get a degree, but it's not the thing that's going to school. There's a word for it. GED, thank you. She got a GED. But after that, she went to nursing school, finished first in her class. Then she got a 2-year education, a 4-year education. 2 months, she'll be a PhD, and she'll teach medicine at the University of Alabama. But I want to tell you, she has paid the price. Working a full-time job, staying up till 2 in the morning, getting up at 4 in the morning, shutting herself away for days to get ready for an exam. There, if you're going to do great things, you got to make a sacrifice. You got to pay the price. You can't be mediocre. You got to go the second mile. You got to pay the price. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I've got to move on. You see, reaching a spiritual goal is hard work. Running a race takes discipline, but it takes discipline to do what God tells you to do. You got to get rid of some stuff. You got to get rid of them weights that hold you back. I had to have discipline a number of years ago. When I retired from the church I pastored. After being there, I pastored in the same city almost 50 years. But when I was a pastor, I went from the office to home, office to the restaurant. And I didn't think that I had time to exercise. I weighed 248 pounds when I retired from New Covenant Worship Center. Within the next 3 months, I lost 45 pounds. Because I had a method. And that brings me to a point that I'm probably getting ahead of myself. But it takes discipline to do things for God. Daniel fast. We used to start a year at New Covenant with a Daniel fast for 21 days to not eat any meats or sweets or bread. You see, it sounds easy. Try it. Just like it takes discipline to lose weight, just like it takes discipline to go on a fast, it takes discipline to reach a spiritual goal. If you start to lose weight, you say, I'll start today. I will eat less today. Then you go to work, and the boss has got a dozen donuts. I will start tomorrow. We live on a roller coaster of good intentions and dreams. Today I will study the word, and we don't. Today I will pray more, and we don't. Today I will fast, and we don't. Today I will quit smoking, and you don't. Today I will tithe, and you don't. Today I will get things right with God, and you don't. Matthew 5:48 says, be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. There's only one perfect, and they nailed him to a cross. That word means to be complete, to be mature. And God wants you to be disciplined, to be mature, to reach your goals, to be the person he's called you to be. I want to give you 5 things that will help you reach your goal. Number 1, you must control your thought life. You must control your thought life. Now, we read the scripture a while ago in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, where it said to bring every thought into captivity. You must be captivated by the Lord, and you must think about Jesus. You must talk about Jesus. You must mention him to others. You must be captivated. Don't let your mind run crazy like mine did for many years. Philippians 4 and 8. Can you turn there? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You got to feel, if you don't fill your mind with the right things, the devil's going to fill your mind with the wrong things. If your mind is full of the right things, the devil can't put the wrong things. If a glass of water is full, you can't put more water in it. If your mind is full of Jesus and full of the Word of God and full of the right things, the devil can't get to your mind. Somebody give him praise in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Prayer, praise, and worship must be a part of your daily life. The Bible said pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That don't mean you have to be on your knees 24/7. Go in a spirit of prayer. Praise God in the home. Praise God in the job. You say, I don't feel like praising God. Praise is not a feeling. Praise is a choice. Make up your mind to be like David. Praise him in the morning. Praise him at noon. Praise him in the midnight hour. Let your mind be filled with prayer and praise and worship. Fill your mind. I've got a scripture. I want you to write down something you probably have skipped right over. Isaiah 54:1. The Bible says, let the barren sing. It didn't say, let the talented sing. I want to tell you, just because I can't sing don't mean I won't. I want you to get that in your head. Let the barren sing. Let the barren, the word barren means empty. The word barren means void. The word barren means dry. Let the barren sing. And if you're going to get your mind right, you got to get your mind filled with praise and filled with music. Now, I want to tell you, I love music, but there's only two kinds of music. I have got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of CDs and tapes and big old disc records, but you'll only find two kinds of music in my possession. Latin and black gospel. That's it. If it's not Latin, if it's not black, it ain't mine. I don't own it. I don't want it. I'll give it away. Not country. I've picked cotton. I've pulled corn. I've cropped tobacco. I left the country. I don't want to be reminded of it. Country music makes me want to cry. Somebody did somebody wrong song. I mean, it's sad. Don't want no country. I don't want, now listen, I could get in trouble, but I'm going to tell you what I preached in the white church. I don't like Southern gospel. Mm-hmm. Jesus don't like Southern gospel. Because it ain't Bible. It's just not Bible. If you read most of the things they're singing, it just ain't real. And I like praise and worship, and I like black gospel. Now, in my office, I had a black lady named Jean Sewell. Did you ever get to meet Jean? Yes, Jean and I were connected at the hip. God gave me Jean before Taliba came. And I've taken Jean with me to Costa Rica, to Honduras. And Jean was a nightclub singer before God saved her. For years, I hosted Atlanta Live here in Atlanta. Finally, I quit. And you know why I quit? It got too flaky. I mean flaky. I could write a book on some people I've interviewed. I interviewed a guy for an hour on jump roping for Jesus. There's just so much you can say about that. I could write a book on some. If I'd have been listening to some of the people, I'd have thrown a shoe at the television and turned it off. But I used to take Jean with me to Channel 57. And I want to tell you, when she was singing, you had church. And Jean knew me, and she knew what I liked. And she'd bring me these. Pastor, I found some. You got to hear this. But if you walked by my office, you'd know I was in there. Because I like black music, and I like it loud. I mean loud. Because there's just something about it that get. If you get in, have you got number 14 queued up back there? Just give them a little. This is what you get in my car. If you're in my car, this is what you're going to listen to. Here it is. My brother's on the line. I'm running for my life. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Hey, 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 hey. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I love it, I love it, I love it. I love it. I love it, I love it. I love it. Sit down for a moment. I love it. I'll tell you, there's a blue car out there. That's what's in it right now. If it wasn't, I'd chunk it out. So you can't be discouraged and listen to that. You can't have the mully grubs and listen to that. I mean, that'll get your mind right. That's what we need. I gotta hurry. If you're going to finish strong, you gotta have a plan. It's not enough to have a goal. There's a difference in a goal and a plan. You gotta have a plan and stick to it. Just like my weight loss plan was. Cereal, salad, and exercise. That was it. For about 3 months, it was cereal, salad, and exercise. You said, not a balanced diet. I didn't say it was a balanced diet. And I didn't say it's your plan. Your plan be different. Mine, you got to have a plan. You'll never reach your goal without a plan. Don't you miss that. You will never reach your goal without a plan. You need a dream. But a dream without a plan's failure. If you're going to be wealthy, you got to have a plan. You got to have a plan. You got to start. To have wealth, you got to have a plan. To reach your spiritual goal, you got to have what? You got to have a plan. You got to refuse the negative factors that will come into your life. Rebuke them. James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from the preacher. Is that what the Bible said? What did it say? Put your hand there, say me. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from me. You didn't know you had that power, that ability, did you? That dirty devil's an imposter. He's an imposter. If you want to talk to the devil, tell the devil something, write him a letter on the sole of your shoe. That's where he belongs. That's where he belongs. He was detoothed at Calvary. There's power over the devil through the blood of Jesus. He wants you to think he's a lion, but Jesus detoothed him. He's a toothless lion is what he is. He can growl, but he can't bite. You have authority over all forces of the devil. Resist that dirty devil. You say, how do you do it? Rebuke him. Deny him. Be positive. Be optimistic. Somebody brought something to my door the other day. UPS. They brought it to my door and said, sign for this. I said, I ain't going to do it. They said, why? I said, it ain't mine. I'm not about to sign for it. You take it to somebody else. It don't belong to me. You drive away with it. I didn't keep it. I didn't sign for it. When the devil starts bringing something to you, don't you sign for it. Get out of my yard. Get out of my house. Get out of my mind. Sometimes it's the small things that limit us. Songs of Solomon 2:15 says it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. Years ago, I drove a car to Bethesda, Maryland. I had a member in the hospital, and it skipped all the way there. When I got to Maryland, I said if I was at Athens, I'd put it in the Shade Tree Mechanic, but I better put it in the General Motors place because it's a General Motors car. They kept it for a day, charged me $550. Put a new exhaust system on it. I got in it. When I got to Charlotte, North Carolina, it quit again. I put it in the shop, spent $250 more dollars. Got nearer to Anderson, South Carolina, it quit again. I had a member that had a car hauler. He came and hauled my car to Bennett's Auto, kind of behind Red Lobster in Uvalde. In Athens. And do you know what was wrong with my car? It was a fuse that went to the gas tank that cost $8. And I've already spent $750 plus a car hauling bill. And that little old fuse that cost $8 caused me all that headache. The same thing happened in the spiritual life. It's not the big foxes that spoil the vine, it's the little foxes. When I got saved, Daddy died when I was 10 weeks old. And I went to work before I went to school at J. Bram Pollock's barbershop selling peanuts. Then I got to selling grit newspaper for 10 cents a piece, kept 3 pennies. And then got to selling boiled peanuts at Vidae and Hazelhurst at the tobacco warehouses. Then I started cropping tobacco and picking cotton and pulling corn. And I said, if I ever get that little piece of paper that says graduation, I'm leaving the country and never going back. I graduated on Monday night, Tuesday morning. I was in Savannah, Georgia. And I didn't look back. But while I was in Uvalde, everybody had a bicycle but me. I didn't have one, but I got one. Nikki Clark had one, but I didn't. Nikki Clark went missing, and I had one. I took the fenders off of it. I painted it, and I rode it right in front of him. That's the truth. I didn't intend to get saved, but I moved in a house with a born-again believer. I've told you this story here, and every time he went to church, he invited me. Pity-pat at them stairs, pity-pat at me. He wouldn't quit. I said, if I don't go to church, he's going to drive me crazy. I didn't go to church because I loved Jesus. I didn't go to church because I wanted to. I went because he nearly drove me crazy. Here he comes Sunday morning, pity-pat. I grab my football jacket. I said, I'm ready. I've never been in a church like that. I grew up in the church of the tall steeple. I mean, you're afraid to clear your throat where I went to church. But I want to tell you that morning, there's a having Holy Ghost meeting. They sang a song, and when they got to the chorus, they sang that thing 50 times. I didn't like it. I wanted out. And I left it, but it didn't leave me. Something got a hold of me. Something got on me. And I couldn't shake it. And all in the afternoon, I'll never go back. But I was getting ready, and I went back. And that Sunday night, I can't tell you what the preacher preached, what the singer sang. I want him to shut up. I had an anvil on my heart that I wanted to get off. And I went in and I got saved. I mean, I prayed through. Back then, it wasn't a little dabble, do you? If they got you to the altar, you stayed there till you got it. They got in front of me. They got behind me. They got on top of me. They patted me on the back. They rubbed my, I had hair back then. They messed up my hair. They, bless him, they spit in my face. One behind me said, you hold on. The room, turn loose. You ever try to hold on, turn loose at the same time? Brother, but when I got through, I had it. I mean, I had it. And then I'd pray. And I knelt to pray, and there it was. It was Nikki's bicycle. There it was. And every time I prayed, it got bigger. And one Sunday after church, I went home, and I knocked on Nikki's door. He said, Howard, I hadn't seen you since graduation. I said, I hadn't been back. What you doing here? I came to see you. What for? I said, I want to talk to you about something. Sit down. We sit down on the couch. I said, remember that bicycle you had? He said, yeah. somebody stole it. Never did find out who it was. I said, I know who it was. He said, you do? Well, who was it? I said, it was me. I said, Nikki, I got saved. And I want to pay you for it. Oh, no, you're not going to pay me nothing. I said, Nikki, it's not about you. It's about me. It's about what God's done for me. When I walk out of this house today, I don't want to see your bicycle no more. I'm going to make this thing right. I'm not going to leave here like I came. I'm going to make restitution. You do with this money what you want to do with it. But it's burning in my pocket. And I made it right with Nikki Clark. Hallelujah. It's the small vine. It's the small foxes that spoil the vine. Restitution is making things right. I'm getting to the end. The Bible said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Get it right. What hinders you? What holds you back? What limits you? What do you need to set aside? What is the sin? Not a sin. I'm talking about the sin. What is it? What is it? Is it somebody? Is it somebody? You may have to tell somebody, get out of my boat. You might have to tell somebody, I love you, but I can't have you in my life no more because you're an anchor to me. You're a weight to me, and I'm hindering you. Maybe somebody you got to cut clean from. Who am I talking to in this house today? What hinders you? What limits you? Is it a habit? Is it a wrong relationship? Is it keeping in your pocket what's God? The Bible said the tithe is the Lord. You don't have to do it. You can keep it. But he calls you a thief and a robber. It's his. He's not going to send a bill collector, but nothing you do will be blessed because that's a curse to you. Keeping God's money in your pocket will bring a curse on everything you got. What is it? Where do you want to be 6 months from right now? What do you want to be 6 months? Do you want to be 6 months from now what you are now? Do you want to grow, expand, mature, develop, get more? What are you going to do to be where you want to be? To have what you want to have? What if you want? You've heard it before. If you want to keep on getting what you've been getting, keep on doing what you've been doing. If you're going to have something, you got to get out of the rut. You got to shake things off. You got to cut. You got to lay aside the weight. The weights, the weights, the weights. What are your weights? Before Jewel gets on that court, she gets off everything she can get off and be a modest lady. She does that every time. She's not going out there with brogans on. She's not going out there with a heavy coat on. She's got work to do. She don't want limitations on her. What's limiting you? What's holding you back? Lay them aside. And then what is the sin that does so easily beset you? Are you in a battle today? I got two things I'm going to leave you real quickly. And one thing God gave me this morning. Say this morning. Turn to Isaiah 28:5. Revelation 28 and verse 5. Isaiah 28 verse 5. I got to find it. Verse 5. In the day shall the Lord of hosts be a crown of glory and of a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. Here it is. That was verse 5. Verse 6. And for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. Now, I want you to read that again. And for strength of them that turn the battle to the gate. Repeat this. Turn the battle to the gate. Say it again. Turn the battle to the gate. Skip over to Isaiah 60:18. I got that this morning, Isaiah 60, 18. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call the wall salvation, and the gates you call what? Turn the battle to the gate. What's the gate call? That's the way you get out of your trouble. It's praise. God inhabits the praises of his people. Do you know what it means to inhabit? You know what it means to inhabit? To dwell in. I inhabit a house in Athens, Georgia, 1423 Newton Bridge Road. I inhabit, I live in that house. This morning we inhabit this worship center. God inhabits praise. So when you're in a battle, if you want to get God near, don't go by feeling, go by choice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your... You start praising God and he will come to where you are. I told you this last Sunday morning. Every other religion has to go to their God. There's a statue somewhere. There's a grave somewhere and they got to go. We don't go to our God. Our God comes to us. He comes to where we are. And the way you get your God to come to you is through praise. God inhabits. God dwells in the praises of his people. Stand to your feet. I've got two more things and I'm going to give them to you next time. I've said enough for today. Lift up both hands. Lift up both hands. Somebody give you, are you in a battle? If you want God to get involved in that battle, he comes to you through praise. He comes to you through praise. Just give him praise right there where you are. Give him praise right there where you are. Give him praise right there where you are. Ho ho! Hallelujah, hallelujah.